So we are going now to 1 Kings. Now, here is one of the places where we get in trouble. And if you don't know what you're doing, you'll get all screwed up and get bad theology. 1 Kings, the reading of the three-year cycle for today, for this reading of Genesis 26 is 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 through verse 12. Okay? Now go there. 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. And Hiram, king of Tyre. Except that in the Hebrew Bible is chapter 5, verse 16. I mean, verse 15. So we have to go back and recapture what the Hebrew Bible is, and the different, who knows why they changed it. There's no logic. But in the Hebrew Bible, chapter 5 begins, verse 1 is chapter 5, or chapter 4, verse 21. 24? No, 21. Chapter 4, verse 21, where it says, and Solomon reigned. Get out. That is the beginning of chapter 5 in the Hebrew Bible, which is what we have to go by. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. So the reading, though, if we read the readings and didn't know this, then we'd go over here in our little reading schedule and we'd see and we get all kinds of screwed up theology. Sort of like we'd look in the concordance.
Yeah, by his stripes we're healed.
And we get, by his stripes we are healed.
What's a stipe?
Oh, it's too complicated. Harry was being a Bible scholar one night.
I didn't know there was a Greek dictionary and a Hebrew dictionary.
So he went in the concordance and he looked up a Greek word in the Hebrew section of the concordance.
And it sounded right.
Yeah, and he made a whole new theology. He and Larry do this all the time.
We've got a strange book here. It says Revised Berkeley Version in Modern English.
Just a revised standard. Okay, go to chapter 5, verse 1, and throw that Bible away.
I am.
Chapter 4, verse 21.
What did we just read in Genesis?
Genesis 26, which is the whole. We read. Let me show you the. Somewhere. excuse me. We read the dispute about the wells. God's covenant with Isaac is now confirmed. The dispute with Abimelech. Okay. So that's where we are. Anyway. Harry, you want to read?
No.
My brother and Jack.
Yeah, Jack's pretty cool.
Yeah. And Solomon reigned over all kingdoms from the river unto the land of the Philistines and under the border of Egypt. They brought presents and served Solomon all the days of his life. And Solomon's provision for one day was 30 measures of fine flour and 80 measures of meal, 10 fat oxen and 20 oxen out of the pastures, and 100 sheep besides harts and roebucks and fallow deer and fowl.
Now that doesn't mean he ate a lot. That was for his court. That was his court.
Nobody could eat.
A lot of freaking money.
Yeah.
It doesn't say that. It doesn't say a lot of friggin' money.
My Bible does.
It says fat and fowl.
What are roebucks?
Huh?
Those deer.
Yeah. Sears and.
Sears and. Roebucks.
No, roebucks are antelope.
Gene. For he had dominion over all the region on this side of the river, from Tipshah even unto Azza, over all the kings on this side of the river, and he had peace on all sides round about him. And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, from Dan even to Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. And Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. And those officers provided victual for King Solomon and for all that came unto King Solomon's table, every man in his mouth, they lacked nothing. In his month, they lacked nothing. Barley also and straw for the horses and dromedaries brought they into the place where the officers were, every man according to his charge. God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country, and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Haman, and Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahal, and his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts and of fowl, and of creeping things and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all the kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom.
Okay. Now, the reason that's read, that's the reading for, it's the confirmation of the promise to Isaac. And so now this is a testimony of what Isaac had. Now Isaac really, if you're in the natural, Isaac owned nothing. He was sort of like us. But spiritually, he owned all things. I mean, that's Solomon is the type of Isaac, or the type of us, shown naturally. You understand that? And so that the idea is the reason that we read about this, the reason we see this, is so that you will know that you lack nothing. That if you have the appearance of lack at any given moment, it's simply it's the chastisement of the Father to show, to reveal mysteries.
It's amazing because, you know, there was Isaac struggling over just for the basic necessity, water. Here's the reading saying
he owns all things.
Yeah. And his peace, and, I mean, even the robot stuff.
Does everybody understand that?
Yeah. Isn't Isaac also, doesn't it represent kind of a type of price the Father gave him everything?
Sure, that's what it is.
It also represents us also, and that we end up getting it through grace.
We had the same. We own all things. Amen. Now, let's go ahead and start the next reading. So this means that we have the Shema.
Queen Shema. Back from the land of the dead.
No. Again, for those of you, for your memory, Shema, the Shema was three sections of the scripture that were, it's a call to hear with understanding. The word Shema or Shema or Shema means to hear with understanding, and it was read before any of the Torah was read, the Torah section. It's a call to set aside everything in your life, and concentrate on the hearing of the words. Okay.
And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn, and thy wine, and thine oil. And I will send grass in the fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside, and serve other gods, and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shutteth the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them your children, speaking to them, which when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them. And that you seek not after your own heart, and your own eyes, after which you used to go a-whoring, that you may remember and do all my commandments, and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God.
Okay, Genesis 27. Now, let me announce a couple things. Terry and Susan's wedding, the ceremonies take place on the first one is on the first, and then it's the 8 days of the wedding, and then it ends on the Saturday after that, which would be the 9th. The first, we're really going to only have three quote unquote major parties instead of trying to do eight. The Bible studies, the other Bible studies, etc., are going to serve as the intervening parties also. So on Friday night, it's going to be out at where we had the Feast of Tabernacles. And it's going to be, we Bananas are going to host the that wedding, the first one. And it's going to be a simple thing with we're not going to do a dinner. We're just going to have wine and cake, or punch and cake, coffee maybe.
Yeah. I got all the equipment for making those mints, by the way.
Good.
My mother's old pro.
Wow. Okay.
We want to go for that.
Okay. Well, we will. What we're going to say is here. We will do whatever we want. I mean, we're the hosts of the party. It'll be the decorations. We're not going to do the thing like we do in the 18th. This is the legal wedding, you know, and where the marriage certificate will be issued. And for the next few, you know, for those of you who haven't been to one of our weddings, they literally last all week. The type is that the bride, us, was betrothed to God on the first day of time. And then the 7 days of the week represent linear time. Then on the 8th day is the wedding supper. That the 7 days, everybody's invited to come in. On the 8th day, it's a private party for only those with the right garment on. So that's what we move towards during the week. Now,
are the kids going to stay with them?
Yes, that's what we're missing. The first night, we start out, the first, they get married on Friday night, but then there has to be two kids that stay with them to make sure they don't do it, not their own. And they have to be old enough to be reliable witnesses.
But not old enough to be bribed.
Yes. And then the second night, two more kids. And the third night, two more kids. But then we finally get towards the end of the week. By the end of the week, the sixth night is all the boys. And then the seventh night is all the girls are staying with them. So. Well, that's just what we're doing. We didn't do it that way. No. Now, so the three major parties are the one that we sponsor, which is the Friday night, November 1st. The one that Ferguson/Rutledge sponsor, which is the Wednesday night. And that's going to be a roast. It's going to be...
Skits and roast.
Yeah.
Liz is the committee chairman.
And Liz is the committee chairman. Liz is the roast chairman.
He's like a yogi.
Right.
And so we got... on the committee is... well, of course, Rick and Liz and Jackie and Butch, the typical weirdos. Judy,
sarcastic smartness.
Sarcastic. They're going, and our job is to make each of the. We're going to bring gag gifts and roast them. We're going to roast them bad. That's the Wednesday party. And then the 8th day party is that Saturday, the 9th. That's when we literally do we perform what the parables are about. We go to the other Bible study and steal the bride. And we have a wedding procession, and it's going to be, the bride will steal them from Ferguson's. Susan's transferred to Ferguson's. We'll have a wedding procession from Ferguson's house up the street down here, go steal the bride, and then everything is set up. You can't believe you can't believe what it'll look like. It'll blow your mind.
Jackie will not get electrocuted.
Yes,
this year.
Yes, yeah, I promise. We're not going to do that. Yeah. I was just thinking that. I'm not hanging tight. Thank you very much.
Yes, we're
hippos. So, anyway, that's what's upcoming. We will have...
you guys weren't here. Sorry.
We will have, obviously there'll be a lot of information about it over the next few days. But so if you could delay that trip until after that next that week, then we can do both. So, okay? And everybody's invited. If you have friends, everybody's invited to the whole week. All of the Bible studies during the week and all of the activities during the week are all centered on the wedding. And it's the idea that you set aside everything in your life to meet the needs, to see that that's all that time and space is about, is it's to prepare the bride for Christ.
So are we going to have Bible study on Tuesday and Thursday?
Mm-hmm. We're having regular Bible study on Sunday, on Tuesday, and Thursday.
What about Monday?
Monday, there's no Bible study there. Monday and Friday nights, the corresponding, one of the nights, Gary and Judy are going to take them out to dinner. The other thing is, on Saturday, during the day, you go ahead. I don't want to talk about you. Can you remember what we said
about Saturday?
Saturday. They're going
to
do stuff.
Larry is going to take.
No, that's not.
That's not going to happen?
No.
Okay, then the one before that? They're taking the Six Flags or something?
Well, they're going to do, since they're going to have a, it's going to be awkward. They're going to take him to Six Flags or do something. So if you guys have any, do something, take them out to lunch or.
So the hunting trip's off.
Yeah. Oh. Terry didn't want to go hunting. That was a Larry kind of.
Yeah. So Larry didn't
Larry
want him to go hunting.
Larry was going to take Terry and Michael and Justin and take them hunting.
But that's part of the thing is the tension of being around each other, but, having to wait.
Yeah, but the problem is, her mother's going to be here through Tuesday, so.
Talk about tension.
Anyway, Bananas is doing the deal on Friday night, and we're going to do things like valet parking, and we're going to be ushers.
Ballet
parking?
We're going to wear tutus and stuff.
That's a great idea. Can we do that? Can we do ballet parking?
That'd be cute.
I want to see Burnett and a tutu. I had to wear one last year. Burnett could wear one.
A tutu.
Where in the same place we had the tabernacles
party? That'll be cool. Ballet.
Sandy Lake RV Park.
Ballet Park.
Okay, Genesis 27.
And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out into the field, and take some venison. And make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die.
Now again, remember, in Genesis 25, when Esau sold his birthright.
Yeah.
Understand?
Yeah. Now,
but Isaac didn't buy it. In other words,
Isaac said no deal. That was bogus.
Something's happened because Isaac is now ready to give the birthright to Jacob. You understand? Mm-hmm. So something has transpired. Now there's a jillion stories of what has transpired in the Talmud, as you can imagine. He just thinks fundamentally. The bottom line is that Isaac thinks that Jacob is a wimp. Esau is a man's man. Jacob just sort of hangs around mother and he doesn't even do farming stuff. He just sort of
he's in the valley.
Huh?
He reads a lot.
He sits in it. No, it says, look at what it says. It says, it does not say that. Huh? And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Well, Esau was a man's man. He was a hunter. He played pro sports. He was like
he was a linebacker.
Yeah. And, huh?
Joe Cap.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, you got the idea.
Basically, Isaac was looking for the promise, but he was seeing it in the flesh. He was saying, "Yeah, he's great."
Okay, so the whole process here is that again we have the situation in which the elder, the one that's the legal owner of the birthright, is going to serve the younger, who was a weird, I mean, it's a little weird, a little, not quite the way you would think a guy should be.
A little light in the loafers?
No, he's not light in the loafers.
He's just meek.
So yeah, humble.
He's
intense.
Okay, you got it? You got the picture, though? Again, the lesson to be learned from this is that the promise isn't going to what you think it should go. The promise doesn't look, the birthright doesn't even look like what you think it should look like. The idea is that your ideas of what it is are probably wrong. Now, that's the lesson.
No justice.
Right, it's not a matter of being just. It's not reasonable.
It's not fair.
Okay?
And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, "Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch for me thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father."
Now what's happening?
Such as he loveth.
What's happening? Who's Rebekah?
Rebecca's his wife.
Rebellious wife.
Rebecca's whose
smart wife?
Isaac's wife.
Okay, but who is then? She's Jacob's mother.
Right.
Okay. So what's happening? The mother.
Pull a fast
one. The mother. I know, but she's the. But the mother of the prompt. The mother of. You got to think in terms of the direction of the birthright. The mother is the one.
It's matrilineal. Jew is by his mother.
Well, but the mother here is the one that exhorts and protects the mother here. This is our mother. It exhorts and protects, and in many cases is deceptive. I mean, in other words, nothing is more important than birthright and its following, the following through the birthright. Okay.
And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, "Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing." And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice, and go fetch me them." And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which he had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, "My father," and he said, "Here am I. Who art thou, my son?" And Jacob said unto his father, "I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according to as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac said unto his son, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." And Isaac said unto Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not." And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father and felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, and his brother's Esau's, as his brother's Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And he said, "I am." And he said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee." And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God giveth thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. It came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he had also made a savory meat and brought it to his father, and said to his father, Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, Who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me, and I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed? And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob?
You know what the word Jacob means, we study it. Supplanter.
Tricker.
One's a tricker or supplanter or cunning. It's one who is it's deceptive. It's really the closest word in English is deceptive.
For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and thou shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob to her younger son and said unto him, Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, proposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, in Haran. And tarry with him a few days, until thy brother's fury turn away. Until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him, then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said unto Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes such a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? You hate your daughters-in-law.
Okay.
Can they do the blessings a lot like that? I mean, what's the deal on the blessings?
Well, the blessing and the birthright and the scepter are all intertwined. And it's all connected with the inheritance, and through all of it is Christ. I mean, Christ is always the inheritance, but there's the birthright is a Well, let me just say this. We need to go in, and the next time we meet, we'll go through specifically the difference between the birthright, the blessing, and the scepter, because they're all it's all an aspect of. I just don't have the notes with me tonight, and I don't want to screw it up. Okay.
Why is it so impossible for you to call him back in and say, "How do you lie? You screw things around. Right up. Take it back."
Because the words of the king cannot be countermanded.
Yeah, it's like that, like about Ahasuerus.
Yeah. And also, it wasn't just, and he gave him something. There was either a signet or a scepter or some thing that would, I mean, this isn't two isolated guys. I mean, this is a big deal. Now, let's go to Obadiah. It's right after Amos.
Thanks.
You love to do that.
Okay, it's Daniel, it's Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. Do you understand that from this point forward, Esau, it's the two, it's Esau and Jacob, Esau and Jacob. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. They allegedly were twins. Obviously, I mean, they weren't allegedly, they were twins. They both were in the womb at the same time. But from now on, as the type, Esau is always, from Esau is Edom, from Esau, which is the flesh. From now on, everything, every time you hear Esau or Edom, it's talking about you as flesh and blood. Every time you hear Jacob, it's talking about you as who Israel will come forth. Remember, Israel came forth from Jacob. So it's always you after the flesh, but you're not in the promise. Israel is in the promise.
Isn't there a mountain too that's Esau?
No. So the idea, though, is that the danger in what religion does is they take and give the promises of God to Esau. Now that really infuriates God. Okay? So anytime you know, I promise you that if you are in a position where you're thinking about God stuff without the cross, without the meaning of the cross to you, you're thinking about Esau. If you're trying to gain justice, you're thinking about Esau. If you're trying to justify yourself, you're thinking about Esau. If you're trying to worry about your own salvation, you're worrying about Esau. If you ever once think in terms of, well, what shall I do next? You're worrying about Esau. Am I communicating? That's how you know that you're in the wrong camp. If self is in the picture whatsoever, you're worrying about Esau. You haven't picked up the cross. If self is a victim, you're worried about Esau. If self is concerned about the future, you're worried about Esau. Jacob, he's going to trick Esau. He already has. He supplanted him. Now, let's read some in Obadiah, then we're going to go on. I want to talk about the cross a little bit more. Okay. Crystal?
No, go to,
I want you to read chapter 3, verse 1.
Oh, I don't know that. One verse. Rabbi humor
there. Huh?
Rabbi Yankee James.
See, there's no chapter.
You found out how ignorant we really were because you heard all these pages flip.
The vision is all over there.
Why?
The vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord, concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor.
Edom, concerning Edom.
Edom
is Esau.
We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, let us rise up above her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. If thieves come to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would thou not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers come to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding. There is none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom, and understanding out of the mount of Esau? And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end, that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter.
Okay, what is the mount of Esau? Okay, the Mount of Esau is the high place. It's the place of the high places.
Now we know.
Why'd you ask?
Can you see why I didn't ask you at the time?
Whose habitation is high and dwell in the clefts of the rock up here?
Yeah. And that's where your life is. You understand? From an earliest childhood, you have lived in the Mount of Esau. And you've devised schemes and lies and structures and strictures to keep yourself reasonably okay. God's going to say to you now, and the cross has to go through and totally destroy the Mount of Esau. They have to totally cut off
by slaughter.
And he has to slaughter this thing, which we'll see in Tuesday.
Reminds me of that game where you play a king in the mountain.
But here's the point. If there is no God, once the high places are slaughtered, if there's no God, you won't be able to find your way across the street. I mean, that's the danger of what we're about. That's why all of the things in here, when it talks about the enemies are not against flesh and blood, we believe, and I am convinced, it's much more than belief, it's living, that everything in the Old Testament is a metaphor for what's happening in your subconscious mind. And everything in life is simply a trip from the world to the promise. From the world, but it's not an external trip. It's a trip in here. It goes on in here. It's a trip from the heart to the head. It's a trip from the world to the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. Now, all of these battles that Edom is going to have, and Esau is going to have with Jacob, and the ones that are projected here in the Minor Prophets, are all battles that you will have. They're inexorable. You cannot get by without. You can't. If you read this as history, you're lost. You're stupid. This is a battle that you must enjoy. Amen?
Amen.
Okay.
What is a teman or a teman?
It's the strength of your high place. Okay, go ahead.
For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee. And thou shalt be cut off forever.
Now, the violence is against the meek. The violence is against the one that would want to, that would try. I'm talking about within you. There are two natures within your flesh, within your breast. One is cursed and one is blessed. One you love and one you hate, the one you feed will dominate. Will dominate your whole being. If you feed Esau, Esau will dominate. If you starve Esau, and the way you starve him is by the abandonment of self, by picking up the cross, then Jacob will dominate, and from Jacob will come Israel. Now that's the meaning. That's what Christ is the fulfillment of. Christ didn't happen in isolation. He didn't come across. He is a cosmic phenomena that fulfilled this promise. He was the empowerment of Jacob. Now, would you go out and see what those kids are doing?
And exhort.
And exhort real strong. Is this clear to everyone? I mean, it's not. The Holy Land served its purpose 2,000 years ago. It's just a place, it's no more holy than Peoria is. And let's go take a trip to Peoria. I mean, it's the same damn thing. Tilton has set up his prayer warriors in Mount Zion to bombard the gates of heaven. He's a friggin' idiot.
It's going to be here
tomorrow. The deception. I mean, here we have. Okay. Who's reading? Okay, go ahead.
In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carry away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them.
See, do you understand that the real you, your permanent residence is always in the New Jerusalem? It's the overriding reality of your life, always, ever has been. But you've allowed the strangers to come in, the armies of the heathen to come in and move you away.
But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother and the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou rejoice over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of his distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldst not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity.
Okay, remember, the day of their calamity, the day of their calamity, the day of their calamity. From everything that it looks like Israel is destroyed. It looks like Jacob is for naught. Looks like you've got to do something to protect yourself. That there is no possibility of the abandonment of self. Well, when you remember what we've said so often, that there's only two left, it's Israel or Babylon. Babylon has the appearance of being successful because it's cause and effect. The god of Bel, it's the god of Babylon, is the god of cause and effect, that you take this action to get that result. Now, hopefully you're hearing this, and slowly but surely you're coming out of cause and effect as the basis of life. Another aspect, another way of saying it is that's what discipleship is. The act of discipleship is the act of causing you to stop belief, the belief systems, and cause and effect. Now, Bel was a god that was 60 cubits high, and 6 cubits wide of solid gold. And it stood in Babylon. It was constructed in Babylon. But because it was 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide, it couldn't stand. It would fall down. And so their god would fall down all the time. And that's not too good in the god business. Right? So what they did is they took the gold from the temple of Jerusalem and melted it down and molded it so that it became the base for the god of for Bel. So what happens? So you got the hear me. Bel, the god of Bel, the chief god of Babylon, the chief god of the whore, is held up and given structure and strength and basis by the artifacts of the temple, in you, now, tonight. What must take place is those artifacts of the temple must be placed back in their proper perspective or their proper place, and that's done with understanding. Then that god Bel will fall. That's what all these minor prophets are about. Nobody ever reads the minor prophets. That's what they're about. It's more fun to have. Let's go beat up on Saddam Hussein or somebody. Mm-hmm. Let's go have a holy war externally so that the flesh can be glorified. All right, continue.
Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen.
See, that's why it says. That's why. It would be better that's why Christ said, if you offend one of these, my little ones, it would be better for you that a millstone were hung upon your neck and you were dropped in the depths of the sea. Well, the word offend doesn't mean, oh, you're a dumb bitch. That's not an offense. That's just a word. The word offend is to create it's a word that means to create a snare or a trap for self-seeking. And so, how many people has Esau succeeded in diverting off the path? God had put 1,000 obstacles in your way. And each time when he would have you stop and consider him and stop and consider your way, you'd get some advice from some friggin' idiot that tells you how to be worshiping Bel better. How to do it. Here's how you do it. Here's what you do. And that's the distress. That is the offense. That it would be better for those people if they were, that a millstone would be hung around their neck and they were drowned in the depths of the sea. Don't you understand? It's the opposite of what the world thinks it is. If you find somebody that's in need, you go, well, here's what you do. You go and you take this and you do it. Well, I mean, I lost everything when I became a believer. Everybody was telling me what I should do. Thank God for the Spirit of God, which told me, just don't believe those idiots. Well, here's what you should do. And then later on when I saw, and we had the foundation became, I had every rich Christian in America on our board of directors. We were going to do all kinds of great things for God. And I said, wait a minute, all we're doing is hustling in the name of God. So I stopped everything. I didn't have it. Nothing. We didn't have any money, nothing. I was living in the floor of an office building that was abandoned. And that was Trinity Foundation. 5 years after we were, or 4 years after we were, you know, in business. And everybody was saying, here's what you need to do. There's one step, one, two, three. And I wouldn't have paid attention to them. They all resigned off the board of directors. Don't you understand? They are the ones that are the offense. The offense is always with a good heart, allegedly. That's the subtlety of Satan. That's how he would deceive, if it were possible, even the very elect. He will deceive you in the name of success, in the name that gain is godliness. And he will have his minions tell you exactly steps 1, 2, and 3 of how to do it. As instead of picking up the cross and abandoning yourself. You see, that's where everything lives at those two moments. Abandon yourself, pick up your cross. Or, well, here's how you do it in God's name. The Zig Ziglar approach to Christianity. It's obscene. The how-to approach to God, that's the offense. That's the ones whom Christ said it would be better if you hung a millstone around their neck and drowned them in the depth of a sea. This isn't a light matter. But this is the first Esau you have to go to battle with. And that battle cannot be avoided. It cannot be finessed. It must be enjoined. And you must see that this is the false god. And you've got him and all the minions that want to help you. Okay.
For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. Hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head.
Can you imagine? It's the end of time. There's 3 seconds left to live, and somebody's going around telling you, well, here's how you... This is the kind of Christian investments you should make.
This is kind of... Real quick.
Okay.
For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness.
Now stop a minute. It shall be as though they had never been. Mm-hmm. Once the mystery of God is completed, time is no more. Gehenna will only last as long as there is time. The word forever has as its implication as long as there's time. The moment time is over, it'll be as though they had never been. So when you go, oh, what's going to happen to all these little people? It's going to be as though they've never been. They've never existed. Well, that doesn't seem fair. Well, you're right. If you're Esau, it doesn't seem fair at all. It's as though you woke up from a dream, and for a brief moment you remembered your dream. That's what life, that's what everything. It'll be, it's either the bride and nothing else. All of your value systems, all of your little projects, even your wives and children, even, it'll be as though it never existed.
Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them. And there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain of the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim, and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead.
Gilead.
And the captivity of his host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, and even unto
Zarephath,
and the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Zepharad, shall possess the cities of the south. And the Savior shall come up on the Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's.
Amen. Let's go to Mark chapter 8. No, we don't have time. It's time to go up to the...
Is that a reading?
Mm-hmm. No, I just had you reading. I just wanted to explain what a little more clearly he saw.
What's the significance of Joseph? A jink of the fire and Joseph of flame. I understand they burn up Esau, but why Joseph?
Well, because Joseph was another view of Christ. Each of these are a view of Christ and his mystery. Joseph was the view of the governments.
What I can't understand is that Esau was tricked.
Esau was tricked.
Right. So why is the Lord coming down around Esau's neck?
Because Jacob has he loved and Esau has he hated from the beginning of time.
That's not
He didn't do anything wrong or right or indifferent. It's that Esau is not part of the promise. Just like flesh and blood isn't. Just like our identity isn't. That's the meaning. We have to lose ourselves. We have to lose the right to ourselves.
I mean, I was thinking about that actually last week because we read it with Daryl. You were on Tuesday night
before. Obadiah?
No, Jacob Esau that thing. About when we talked about how he basically was a liar. I mean, that was true. He was a liar and he stole. But, you know, God counts him as one of the most righteous men, so there must be a different thing going on besides, you know.
That's right. You can't quite, if you follow the lives, if you're the God of this world, you do not want people studying the Old Testament. Because you'll find out that something else is going on besides the Christ that satisfies all their idolatries. You'll find it's the Christ, the anointed one, whose ground and foundation is the Old Testament. Not their own little idiotic ideas of them. Amen? Let's go to the big group.
Yeah.